the rest of the story. I want you to concentrate on a whiskey bottle with air in its belly and a cork down its throat. A buoyant, airtight bottle bobbing in the Thames River of old London town. Where's that bottle going to go? Ashore, perhaps. More likely, however, it'll be carried out by the current into the Strait of Dover and from there into the North Sea. We're going to retrace the course of this sturdy glass vessel, a long and lonely voyage that really actually took place. Away from the east coast of England, northbound past the Netherlands, now somewhere midway between Scotland and Denmark, still in the North Sea. June 1937 has passed into July. The sealed bottle, urged ever northward by the ocean current, passes between the Shetland Island and the coast of Norway. The vast expanse of the North Atlantic lies ahead, the Arctic Circle less than 400 miles away. The year 1937 bows gracefully into the next as the lonesome voyage continues. Hundreds of miles of Norwegian coastline is left behind as the intrepid bottle ventures into the icy Barents Sea. The northern coast of the Soviet Union is far below. Years pass in those desolate waters, thaw and freeze and thaw again. The currents lure gently eastward over Siberia from the Kara Sea, past the North Islands, the Laptev Sea, then through the East Siberian Sea, and there east meets west. The bottle has remained intact and airtight for most of a decade. Now as it floats into the Bering Strait between Siberia and Alaska, on a southbound journey into the Bering Sea, it goes past the Aleutian Islands, into the North Pacific, then along the west coast of the United States, and then at long last, this restless voyage of almost 12 years has come to an end as the bottle comes to rest on the beach at San Francisco. We have now retraced the lonely voyage of a buoyant bottle from the mouth of the Thames River in England, all the way 12,000 miles over a period of 12 years to San Francisco. Now, the bottle's course has been reconstructed by oceanographers. Where you have heard that it went, it had to have gone after being released into the Thames. It was a chilly day, March 16, 1949, when a fellow named Jack was wandering a deserted San Francisco strand and happened upon the bottle half buried in the sand. Jack Wurm, W-U-R-M, was 55 and jobless. He was near penniless and despondent. His restaurant business was bankrupt and his life savings were gone. But Jack discovered this bottle and he sees something inside. He breaks the bottle on a rock and recovers its contents, a piece of paper, upon which is handwritten this message: to avoid all confusion, I leave my entire estate to the lucky person who finds this bottle. Signed, Daisy Alexander, June 20, 1937. And yes, it did stand up in court, this last will and testament of Daisy Alexander, who had died in London in 1939. Daisy Alexander, the eccentric heiress to a large portion of the singer's sewing machine fortune. Luck, she had secretly decreed, would determine her heir. And so Jack Wurm of San Francisco, broke and disheartened, down and out, was to harvest a legacy from a deserted beach, from a whiskey bottle that had begun its relentless journey half a world away. $6 million. Now you know the rest of the story.